Please join me in a word of prayer. Our Father in heaven, who has made us and given us the ability to serve, who has granted us sufficient vision to follow your call with diligence, we acknowledge with sorrow our faults and failures. Too long have we tried your patience and betrayed the sacred trust you have given us to keep. Yet, in your infinite love, you are still willing to accept our petitions for forgiveness. Forgive us, Father, for our failure to be true even to our own accepted standards. Our self-deception in face of temptation, our choosing of the worse when we know the better. Forgive us, Father, for our failure to apply to ourselves the standards of conduct we demand of others, our blindness to the suffering of others, and our slowness to be taught by our own. Our complacence towards wrongs that do not touch our own case, and our oversensitiveness to those that do. Father, forgive our slowness to see the good in our fellows and to see the evil in ourselves, our hardness of heart towards our neighbor's faults, and our readiness to make allowance for our own, our unwillingness to believe that you have called us to a small work and our brother to a great one. Create in us a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within us. Cast us not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from us. Restore unto us the joy of your salvation, and give us the strength of a willing spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
I can never forget the first time I went on death row in Central Prison and looked into the faces of those men. Men who knew they were condemned of society, and men who had probably so condemned themselves that they also felt rejected of God. And yet to me, every face seemed to be asking, "Haven't you got something to say to me? Haven't you got something to say to me?" And tears came in my eyes. Have you ever had a man to tell you, "I don't know what's the matter with me. I think I'd just as soon be in here as out there. And even if I did get out, I would probably get drunk, kill somebody, and wouldn't even care if they sentenced me to the gas chamber. I don't know what to do." Or have you ever visited week after week with a woman who was dying of cancer, and one day receive a long distance call saying, "We want you to help with our mother's funeral. You were her last minister. And we've heard her speak often of how much you meant to her while she was at the rest home." Or have you ever had one of the fellows out at the school for the mentally retarded put his hand on your shoulder and look up at you and say, "You're my buddy, aren't you?" I have a feeling that most of you here are already familiar with much of the extension work program and the main areas of service: the Central Prison in Raleigh, the old folks' home or the rest home here in Wake Forest, and then the school for the mentally retarded, the Murdoch School at Butner. I hope that you would take time to look at some of the sheets, the information sheets that are posted on the campus. And I noticed just before I walked over that there is one still posted on the bulletin board out in front of the Johnson building. Thus far, the response for the extension program has been very good. But I hope that some of you who have not yet begun to take part will look at these sheets and find where you can fit in. Talk with some of those who are involved in the program so that you too can find a place of service. I have a feeling if you do, you'll also find that these areas of service can have a great meaning for you, and it will truly be a test of your theology. Can I make it applicable? I'll never forget the first time I was to teach a Sunday school class at Butner. And it seemed that up until that time, I'd found it pretty easy to read a book here and a book there and a little here and there and come out with something to say. But I couldn't pull down Bultmann's theology and tell those boys what Bultmann had to say. And I thought I knew something of the plight of the student who returned to the campus and said to Dr. Lovelace, "My people don't care a thing about the Neolithic Age." Well, I'm sorry that that fellow missed the point and that the Neolithic Age didn't mean something to him. And it's true that I didn't have a book on my shelf that I felt I could pull down and follow for my Sunday school lesson. But I'd hate to think that my message could not be more meaningful after my acquaintance with Bultmann, Bart, Bruno, and Briggs, the big four. And in a way, it is tragic if our studies here do not have something to say. I told a junior recently that I believe I would have made a far worse minister after my first year at the seminary than before I came. I came seeking answers, and I found questions instead. But I went on to tell him that now in my third year, I felt I could go from here far more capable of being honest and far better prepared to minister to those who were involved in the living of life. I don't think we can speak meaning to another man unless we've experienced it ourselves. We too have to become involved. We must face questions. We must bear burdens in order to keep our lives in contact with life and keen to the dynamic reality of the moment. For if our lives become contently, sentimentally detached, they rot. But there's also the danger, I believe, of so thrashing the air with our theological tools that our lives become a frantic chase after specks. An intellectual chess game, as someone has said, in which we block off one theologian with another. The question is not so much, who do Bart, Bruno, and Tillich say that I am? But who do you say that I am? It's quite painful when a man's concern of necessity is tied up in ideas. When his own problems swell and fester, and he finds himself alone in a crowd with more questions than answers. I think I, in part, have experienced something of that. When this happens, a man cannot but ask himself the question, how can I have anything to give someone else when I can hardly keep my own head above water? And here we spend much time defining the faith. But something happens when we live the faith. We find a bottom on which to stand, and we find that we need not tread so furiously ourselves. when we see the need, and when we are grasped by that need, then our own lives take on meaning. And then we know that we do have something to give. Let us stand and sing for our concluding hymn, He Leadeth Me.